from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Home and home.
I want to get into this discussion right now. We're going to do it with Jimmy Traina, who does an unbelievable job for Sports Illustrated covering a bunch of different things, but including sports media. And Jimmy, it's Ross Tucker, Jason Mertitis today filling in for Dave Briggs. Really appreciate the time, as always. We're talking about the sports, Jimmy, that are best comparatively on TV compared to in person and worst on TV comparatively to in person. What jumps out to you there? We'll start with the best.
Football by far. On television is football. That is a sport where you need replay. Going to a football game, I think you just miss so much stuff. I don't think there's any issue that football is the best sport for television. In terms of in person, I'm not a huge hockey guy, but everyone says hockey in person can't beat it. I am a big baseball guy. I love baseball in person. I think baseball is fine on TV or in person, but it's something about summer, sitting in the baseball stands. It used to be a little better when the cost of everything wasn't through the roof and there was, you didn't have to mortgage your house to get a bottle of water at a baseball game. But I think baseball and hockey for in person, and then on television, it's football.
It's interesting, Jimmy, because I wrote this down, right? So mm-hmm. For TV, I wrote 1 football, 2 baseball, 3 basketball, 4 hockey. But I got to tell you, it might be baseball for me as number 1 on TV. Now, I am separating the summer, sitting there, having a dog, having a beer. I'm separating that and just watching the sport itself. Mm-hmm. Like baseball on TV, you see from the pitcher throwing the pitch, the batter, even if you have good seats, I feel like, for baseball at the game, like I can barely even see the ball when they throw it. And then they hit it and you're like, and it seems like I'm usually talking. And then you're like, oh, okay. Then first base. Great. You got a single. I feel like baseball on TV is a lot better than baseball in person, just like the sport itself, if that makes sense. Just viewing what's going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you that if you're someone who wants to see the pitches and where exactly they are, location, TV is a better experience, obviously. But I think everything else, when you watch a baseball game in person and you see a shortstop make a play in the hole, you see an outfielder, you see how far they have to run to make a catch, home runs, everything, doubles and triples with players flying around the bases. I think baseball in person still has a lot to offer. I agree, though, if you're a big pitching person, then yes, the TV experience is better there.
Yeah, see, my problem with baseball is that it's the ball is actually only in play now, an average of every 4.5 minutes of real time. So a lot of times I feel like when you go to a game, it's like watching grass grow because that's what you're doing most of the time. But I digress. Jimmy, when you look at the presentation of the sports and you talk about that chasm between the difference in live and at home, and you mentioned the NFL, and it is perfect, the rhythm of it. But are there things that the NFL can still do better to make it even more enjoyable? The downtime in the NFL, like I could just complain about the fact that the ball's in play every 4.5 minutes in baseball. The actual amount of action in football isn't a tremendous amount of real time because it's short spurts of plays. But what can football do on television to make it an even more appealing television sport, if that's even possible?
I don't know there's really much they can do. One of the big complaints a lot of people have is, the commercials, and especially after a touchdown, they go touchdown, commercial, kickoff, commercial, then back to play. That's a little much. I think the individual networks, CBS, ABC, Fox, they do pretty much as good a job as you can do covering the game. I think ESPN is a mess on Monday night, not because of the announcers. I think it's the overall broadcast. They just want to show you everything but the game. I think if you just show the game and keep it simple, there's not much you can do to improve football on television. You know, maybe more. You know, every game should have pylon cams in the end zone, something like that. Maybe, you know, extra loud mics on the goalposts for when field goals and extra points at the goalposts. But there's not really much the NFL can do to enhance the TV product, I think.
The one thing that Amazon did, though, it was more of a, with Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm, it was more of a commentary broadcast than calling the game. How did that go over?
I'm not sure many people watch the Amazon. I mean, I'm sure they have numbers, but I don't know anyone who watched the game on Amazon. I didn't. I don't know why you would choose Amazon over Fox. So I can't really answer that question, to be honest with you. In terms of, you know, that's not an NFL thing. That's a network thing or a broadcast decision to go commentary over play-by-play. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that's a change NFL fans want. I think NFL fans want the very traditional play-by-play person, analyst, and that's it. I don't think commentary works on an NFL game at all.
I agree.
So, Jimmy, I want to ask you about the XFL. And before I have a specific question, just broad thoughts. How much have you watched? Have you enjoyed it? What do you think?
I haven't watched, so can't comment. I love football to death, the NFL and college. Love it. Every Saturday, every Sunday, I am locked in my house for way too many hours watching. Having said that, I love when the season's over and I get my weekends back. And the last thing I'm going to do on a Saturday or Sunday in, you know, February is watch another football league. So I haven't watched, you know, I think they've done a good job from everything I've seen. You know, the three letters XFL sort of had a stigma attached to it before the league started because of the first incarnation with Vince McMahon. Obviously, this is not that. This is a legitimate football league. So that's, I think that's been a huge plus for them. But I haven't checked it out. The NFL and college are plenty for me. I don't need more football leagues in my life.
Do you need NFL combine coverage in prime time, Jimmy? So I guess the question there is, it's the first year the NFL went prime time. So I guess the question is, did you ever watch it before? And now that it's prime time, are you watching that or are you watching NBA or college hoops?
No, I mean, listen, I think what's good for the combine is you can check out specific players if you want. Listen, I can't sit there for multiple hours watching the combine. But listen, the NFL Network, ESPN, whoever it is, they're going to air the combine no matter what, because if you air anything related to the NFL, you're going to get viewers. So if you're going to air it, you might as well air it in prime time. It makes no sense not to. That's where more people watch bigger numbers. So if you're going to air the combine, it makes full sense to do it in prime time. So I think that's a smart play by the networks there.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, people go bananas over watching the NFL draft, but let me ask you about...
People watch the NFL schedule release. So of course they're going to watch the combine.
Yeah, and Selection Sunday. I mean, if they're compelled by the sport, they're going to watch it, which is probably why the XFL is losing viewers, because they're not compelled by the actual product. But anyway,
the XFL, I just want one quick thing about the XFL, too. They're going to have big problems in a couple of weeks, because that's when March Madness ramps up. And I think it's going to be a big problem for them.
Jimmy, the one thing I want to ask you about is the Tiger effect in golf, because... Boy, it is insane. And last year, Tiger won the Masters. He won a major again. And they're coming up to this Masters, and we got to talk about his menu still, Ross. But anyway, the effect on a single player in a sport, especially in sports leagues like the NBA, where you have the LeBron effect, or you have stars that are enormous superstars. But in golf in particular, the Tiger effect, will that ever be matched in television, sports on television, to that level of disparity of when he's in contention to when he's not in contention?
I would say probably not. I mean, anything's possible, but, you know, he's a guy who, you know, he's in that age range and his career has been long enough where he's appealing to all ages. So, you know, you were with, you know, if you're, let's say, in your late mid-30s, early 40s, you were with him for the prime. You're older than that, you were with him for the prime. And for, you know, maybe people in mid-20s, you know of the legend of Tiger Woods. So the cross appeal is enormous. Like you said, you mentioned, you know, LeBron, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods. These are people that the fringe fan brings in. You know, this was an issue with the Super Bowl. You know, we didn't have the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the first time in God knows how long this year. And say what you want about the Patriots, there are people who don't watch 1 second of the NFL all season long. They'll tune into the Super Bowl if Tom Brady is playing in it. LeBron, same thing. And Tiger obviously is on another level from that. So it's hard for me to ever see this happening again.
We're talking with Jimmy Traina, does an awesome job covering sports media, among other things, for Sports Illustrated. Check him out on Twitter, at Jimmy Traina, host of the SI Media podcast as well. Jimmy, I know you wrote about the FCC complaints for the Super Bowl halftime show while we're talking Super Bowl. Can you explain how many that came in and how big of a deal that is, if any?
Well, it's not a big deal at all. It was 1,300 complaints that came in. And I didn't do a great job with that column because after the fact, I went to look to see how many complaints the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake boob incident got. And that was like 500,000 complaints or something like that. So 1,300 is nothing in the grand scheme of things. What I got a kick out of was the actual complaints. People seem to be really just, the world was rocked that J-Lo had a stripper pole on stage. They just couldn't handle it. So in the grand scheme of things, you know, 100 million people watch the Super Bowl, 1,300 complaints, not a lot by any stretch of the imagination. But the fact that someone would take the time to send a complaint to the FCC because J-Lo and Shakira were gyrating while half naked is amusing to me, at least. Maybe no one else.
Jimmy, the funny thing too is after the nip slip with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake, there was a huge crackdown by the FCC. And doing live radio, I remember it, and it changed a lot of things. It changed when I was doing rock radio, the songs that we played because of the lyrics that were in songs. It changed a ton. The FCC overreacted. Is there going to be any reaction? And so next year at the Super Bowl, are we expecting to see like the Brady Bunch reunion or the Partridge Family as a good old wholesome family entertainment? Because God forbid there was a stripper pole on the stage that served of great purpose in my estimation.
I mean, listen, I'm totally down for a Brady Bunch reunion at halftime of the Super Bowl. So sign me up for that. But I do not think you'll see any reaction here from the NFL. Again, 1,300 complaints, not a big number. And really, when you get down to it, I think America survived J-Lo and Shakira dancing suggestively. We've moved on, and I don't think there'll be any repercussions.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, Jimmy, so I have two daughters that for the Super Bowl, they were 6 and 7, and I am not a prude at all. I thought it was a little bit much. Now, I absolutely wouldn't take the time to go ahead and file a complaint. I don't have that kind of time in my life or care.
Right.
I thought that there were a few, and I actually thought it was more the camera work than Shakira or J-Lo. Like, just, I didn't need that many crotch shots. You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
I was watching it at home. My wife went to a family party with my daughters, and she just watched them watching it. and was thinking, what are they thinking right now? And maybe it's our fault. Maybe you shouldn't let a 6- and a 7-year-old watch the Super Bowl halftime show.
Well,
maybe that's the argument. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Go ahead.
No. I mean, listen, I think that's a sad commentary there. I mean, I think 6- and 7-year-olds should be able to watch the Super Bowl. 6 and 7, I mean, your daughter's there a little. I have nieces who are 10 and 14. And I can tell you from what I see them watch on YouTube and Netflix that the Super Bowl is basically nothing compared to that. I'm not saying that makes it right. And I'm not saying it shouldn't have been maybe toned down a little bit. But listen, if they don't see it at the halftime of the Super Bowl, they're going to see it sometime soon somewhere else. At the end of the day, it's a music performance, and that's what music performances seem to be these days.
My son enjoyed it. He's 13.
How old? Yeah. About right. Now, it's about right.
Like Pete Jensen's kid, he didn't hump a hole in my sectional when he sent out that tweet.
Peter Rosenberg, I saw that.
It's the greatest tweet ever. Yeah. Thanking the NFL for that, but.
All right, so Jimmy, I also know you wrote recently about High Noon getting canceled, and I wanted to get you to explain that a little bit. For people that don't know, it's a television show, or was, on ESPN with Pablo Torre and Bomani Jones on ESPN that came out this week. It got canceled, and you wrote about it. What were your thoughts, Jimmy, for people who didn't have a chance to check out your column yet?
Yeah, they're going through March. Basically, High Noon with Bomani and Pablo is a very different sports talk show than the rest of the ESPN lineup and the other stuff you see on FS1 that nobody watches. They're not out there doing the nuts and bolts, bread and butter, hot takes that we all do to sort of get through the day and generate the clicks and get the content. They're very, very, very intelligent individuals. Pablo worked at SI. I worked with him. They're both brilliant. And, you know, sports fans want, it's basically like going to a concert. When you go to a concert and you see an established artist, you want them to play the hits. Sports fans want their hot take shows to play the hits. Who's better, LeBron or Jordan? Where's Tom Brady going to end up? And they didn't do that. And I think that's what ended up basically. Now, listen, their numbers in terms of ratings were low compared to the other ESPN shows, but they were not low to the point where ESPN had to cancel them. I mean, their ratings for that show are probably double or triple whatever the highest rated show is on FS1. I don't know if I wrote this because I probably wouldn't have written this on SI.com, but I think I said on Twitter that anyone associated with any FS1 daytime sports talk show would basically murder a family member to get the ratings that High Noon had. So in the context of the daytime sports cable hot take shows, their ratings were not terrible, but it was a bad fit with everything else that ESPN does.
So Jimmy, let's say you were my agent, okay? Mm-hmm. Would you tell me, and I'm, by the way, very happy with my career. Like, I love it. But if I really wanted to get to the point where I'm getting paid millions of dollars per year, would you recommend I just totally lie and say shit I don't really believe, just so I know it aggravates people and it gets people's attention, and just make up shit and say shit that's totally nonsensical and illogical that I don't believe, and have to look at my daughters and say, no, I don't believe that, but that's how you get ratings these days, and that's how you make a lot of money in the industry. Would you suggest that I was completely inauthentic and fake?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the answer to that question is, if you can stomach it and live with yourself and not have any issues and be all about the paycheck, then yeah, go for it and do that. And that's how you'll make your living. If, you know, you're someone that can't do that, then you should not do that, because you're not going to be able to last doing that.
It's unbelievably sad, though, isn't it? Like, isn't it like
very, but that, yes, very sad.
How many guys, well, I'll let you go, Jimmy, but how many guys on TV would you say literally say things that they don't believe. They're just saying it because they know it'll get a rise out of the audience.
I would say everybody on FS1 and half the people on ESPN.
And yet FS1 has no ratings at all. The Teletubbies get better ratings than that idiot Skip Bayless gets.
He's the number one guy, right? Yeah. He's their number one rated show. Listen, I think what a lot of sports fans don't understand with a lot of these shows is there's, production meetings before the show begins, and the producers say, okay, here's a topic. You take this side. Like you said, whether you believe it or not, and then you're just arguing aside to argue aside. And, the home viewer sees two people fighting on TV and they find it entertaining. And sadly, there are a lot of people who do find that entertaining. I don't know. I don't get it myself at all. It's so easy to spot. It's so easy. The one thing with Twitter is there are some good accounts out there now that sort of, like in New York here with Mike Francesa, it was famously done where his sort of mistruths, let's say, were chronicled where, one day he would say, this guy will never be a top 10 pick. And then a week later, he's saying, I told you this guy would be a top 3 pick. So it's good that Twitter's around. So it's good that Twitter's around to sort of point out the bullshit. We could actually use way more of it. There should be someone doing that for every show on television.
Fact checking. It's social fact checking.
It is the dumbing down of America. It's truly sad, but it's where we are, unfortunately, which is why the shows that are entertaining that aren't like that, and I know you and I, Jimmy, both appreciate Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt was my college roommate. I don't know if you know that, Jimmy, but he's my college roommate and teammate.
Yep.
And I know you like that show. It's kind of nice to see shows where you can just come up with different content and be entertaining, and you don't have to be fake or inauthentic.
Right.
And it's weird because everybody says what they want is authenticity, but that's not reflected in what they watch or listen to.
Right. This whole conversation comes down to one very simple word, which you said, authenticity. That's what it's all about. Just look at the country we're in right now. Look what's going on. It would be nice if everyone wanted authenticity, but sadly, that's just not the case. Every aspect.
Jimmy, you're the man. Sorry I took you a little over, but it just got in my head.
No, I enjoy the conversation. It's good. It's good stuff. And I like getting the Good Morning Football plug there, and remembering that you and Kyle are teammates because.
Make sure you check him out.
Very authentic guy right now in sports media.
Yeah. Well, make sure you check him out on Twitter at Jimmy Traina and check out his column over at Sports Illustrated. He is excellent. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. It's Ross Tucker. Thanks for listening to the Home and Home podcast. Remember, you can watch or listen live every day from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time exclusively on the radio.com app or on the web at radio.com/home.
Home and Home.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.